Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Prepare Your Resume, part 2 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, what should be on my resume? What format should I use for my resume? And how long should my resume be?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Let's be honest, being a manager is hard. Maybe you're second-guessing decisions, struggling to get your team aligned, or just buried in tasks. If any of that sounds familiar, you're not alone. And you don't have to figure it out by trial and error. A Manager Tools license gives you complete, proven systems to help you lead with confidence. You'll get unlimited access to thousands of hours of practical how-to guidance, plus tools designed specifically to solve the challenges managers face every day. You get priority access to our most popular events and a $75 training discount. Stop the struggle. Start managing effectively. Get your license now at manager-tools.com/memberships.
Okay, now we come to the most important part of your resume. The admin stuff at the top. By the way, in case we weren't clear, generally we recommend you bold your name at the top in 10 point, or you could do it in 12 point if you have room, particularly if you're newer as a professional in your career. And all of that is centered at the top. Now, you might say, well, I'd kind of like to do it differently. Well, that's like saying, I want to put the ending of my story at the beginning because I'm clever, or I'm interesting, or whatever. That's not how people read stories. People expect the ending to be at the ending. People like us who see lots of resumes, we expect a resume to be immediately recognizable as such when we see it. Every once in a while, I get a resume with the name and address and phone number justified left rather than centered. And if I held that up 20 feet away from people, they can't tell it's a resume. You should be able to hold your resume up, even though at 10-point type, they can't see a word of it. And they should be able to know, this is called metadata. The metadata of your resume says this is a resume. Because if I've got 100 resumes to go through in a stack, when I come up on something that doesn't look like a resume, I don't know it's a resume. All of my rules for reading the resume go out the window. And now I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be hard. They've done something different. Maybe they're clever. Maybe they're cleverer than me. Maybe I'll actually end up liking you. But the chances are 1 in 50 that I will like you changing the standard format of a resume. When I was at, I can't remember where I was. I was at working at GE, and an executive there, I want to say who was a senior vice president, might have been an executive vice president. He was helping his son with his resume. He was just graduating, I think, from Rensselaer in New York. Really smart, smart young man. I met him. Great kid. And he said, hey, Dad, the career services office, as is often true, they have a bunch of different resume formats I can choose from, but I figure I'll use yours. And if I had a dad who was an SVP or an EVP at General Electric, I would use that format. And his dad said, well, I'll send you mine. And so he said to me, he says, Mark, I know you know resumes pretty well. You used to be a recruiter. Look at this. And I said, oh, that's your resume. He says, yeah, how do you know? I said, because it looks like a resume. Now, his was 2 pages long. And then he asked me, will you coach my kid on his resume, which I did. But it was standard. His name at the top in bold, then 2 lines of admin, contact information, and then job history, and then schooling at the bottom. Yeah. Okay. So let's get to job history. This is the whole key to your resume. Okay. It is a listing of jobs that you've had in reverse chronological order. Start with your most recent job and go backwards as you go down the page. Okay. Now, we're going to go into this in enormous detail, but I consider this to be the single biggest strategic miss of every resume that I don't like. In addition to all the errors and all the stupid stuff that people do, people think they can reinvent an industry. You don't want to. You don't need to stand out because of your resume. Your resume should stand out because the quality of your responsibilities and your accomplishments, nothing else, okay? So each job that you list, every job that you've held, has 3 parts to it. There's a little bit of administration. Again, we're going to detail these in just a moment in enormous detail. Then there's a paragraph of job responsibilities written in prose form, and then accomplishment bullets below that. And that's it. So if you had 8 jobs and I held your resume up 20 feet away from you, you could see that centered at the top is that contact information. And then there are 8 blocks of text from the top to the bottom, followed by a line or two of education. And that is it. That's it. Now, I'm going to tell you the single biggest strategic mistake, and I want you to know it before we start going through the responsibilities and accomplishments portion of this. And if you don't know, we probably have 20 other podcasts about resumes at Manager Tools, and we encourage you to come listen. You can listen wherever you hear podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Where else are we? Spotify, YouTube, certainly Apple. Is there anywhere
podcasts.
Else? Apple Podcasts, yeah. Okay. So here's the single biggest strategic mistake that I see made. People think that bullets matter, and so they take their responsibilities, which are supposed to be in a prose paragraph, responsible for this and this and this, period, responsible for this and this and this, period, responsible for this, okay? That's the things you were paid to do, whether you did them well or not. Bullets are for things you did which no one else did, right? Other people may have done similar. And here's the mistake. You turn your responsibilities paragraph into bullets, thinking, oh, bullets are what's important on a resume. And bullets are what's important because we want to see how well you did your job, and that's your accomplishments. We want to see how well you did against your responsibilities. But when you turn your responsibilities into bullets and you say responsible for X in a bullet, you run the risk of being seen by people who review resumes routinely as somebody who got fired from your job. I'm not kidding you. That's what we think. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I didn't get fired from my job. Why are they reading that into my resume? Because you violated the rule that responsibilities are in prose and accomplishments are bullets. If you didn't have any accomplishments in a job, what people who get fired do is they don't have any accomplishments, so they put their responsibilities into bullets, and therefore your resume looks like every job has a bunch of bullets or accomplishments. You're essentially trying to trick the person into thinking that you did things when, in fact, when we read it, we know that you didn't do those things. You were just responsible for them. You might have done them so poorly you got fired, but you want to list them as bullets. So we're going to talk about 3 things here. We're going to talk about the admin data. We're going to talk about your
responsibilities
and then accomplishments. And I want to make that distinction clear before we go through it. Okay. Sorry, Sarah.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Let's start with the admin. Now, this information should be both bold and underlined. And we recommend putting the dates first in months and years, followed by a colon. Next, put the job title. If your job title was a little bit vague, like senior manager, or an unusual job title in a way, you can give a little bit more information if you like the team that you are managing, for example, senior manager, project management office, for example, just to give it a little bit more context. And then finally, you have the company that you worked for and location in that role.
Right. So an example of this would be, and by the way, we didn't say it, just to be clear, at the top, your contact information is all centered, okay? Everything else in your resume is left justified, okay? Oh, by the way, don't try to make your resume pretty by making it also right justified so that the right side doesn't have a jagged edge. Some people think that's cool to do that. There are some books that are written that way, and it actually adds some formalism to it and so on. The problem is that in order to do that, your word processing software, what it has to do is change the spacing between the letters, and it makes it harder to read. Human brains are good at reading when they know the kernel, the spacing between every letter. There is some subtle kernel spacing between unusual letters. K's and X's sometimes get different spacing, but for the most part, it's trivially small, and it is not what is done when you're taking 40 characters and then spreading them out so that they justify on the right, even though you could have fit 65 characters in there. That will make that bullet harder to read, and it will cancel out, and then some, the benefit that you think you're getting because you've got it both left and right justified. Okay, so an example. This is an example of the administrative data for one person's one job on one person's resume. November 2022 to, you could put a dash if you want, to November 2023, colon, senior manager, Diet Coke marketing team, comma, Coca-Cola company, comma, Atlanta, comma, Georgia. Full stop or period.
Mm-hmm. And all of those words, again, are bold and underlined.
Yep.
The entire line. And if that's the only bold and underlining that you do on your resume, other than your name at the top, obviously, it makes it easy for us to see. Because you can see, again, at a distance, hold that resume across the room. You can see exactly where each job starts and stops. Because you know the bolded, underlined line is the beginning of a new chunk, a new section, if you will. This is the first in a series of eight sections. There are eight jobs.
And for those of you who are persnickety about verbiage and grammar and usage and so on, when we say it's the only bold and underlined thing other than your name at the top, we did not recommend your name be underlined at the top. Okay, don't underline your name at the top. The only thing that gets underlined is this bolded part, which is administrative data of a job. And it helps us. We can scan very quickly because of the bold and underlining. You're helping us learn very quickly, okay, what jobs has she had and in what order?
Yeah, one how many
of the
are here?
Contexts is right. One of the qualitative evaluations we make has this person had levels, increasing levels of responsibility throughout their career. Now, in some cases, if you're interviewing for this for the same job you're in now at a different company, and that's the only job you've ever had, that's fine. Okay. But for many resumes, you're showing increasing levels of responsibility. And what we're going to do after we look at your name, so now we know who we're thinking about. So I'm thinking about this guy, Joe. I've got Joe in my head. I know he lives in Kankakee, Illinois, and I'm going to go right down and look very quickly at the bold underlined parts and see, do I see a progression of responsibility?
Mm-hmm. Mark, do you mind if I go back just 1 second and,
sure.
and make sure that I hit on the make sure you keep the months there information.
Oh, yes. We need to talk about that. Yeah.
Folks, sometimes, and I know you're trying to save line space and you're trying to cut out unnecessary characters and things. Something to make sure that your resume, your admin line, I should say, includes is both month and year of each of the jobs held. It can't be 2022 to 2023 because I don't know, as a reader of your resume, if you held that job for 2 years or 1 month. I can't tell the difference. You must have the months there.
Yeah. Also, if you're wanting to save space, because actually that one I just read is kind of long, right?
It is.
Abbreviate November. Just put NOV without a period. NOV space 2022 dash NOV space 2023 colon. And if you had to, you could put senior manager as SR period space capital MGR period if you wanted to. I don't think you need to, but if you're worried about line spacing when you get done, because as soon as you finish that admin on the same line, you're going to start putting your responsibilities. So it's part of that first paragraph. It's essentially the introduction to your responsibilities paragraph. And you may want to save a few spaces in there in order to keep that last line of your responsibilities
from
creating.
Over.
Yeah. That's called, I can never remember this. In grammar, there are widows and orphans. Widows, I think, are words that, maybe it's an orphan. An orphan is a word that is the last line of a sentence and a paragraph. No, I'm sorry, the last word of both a sentence and a paragraph that doesn't fit on the last line, and it shows up as a single word.
Yeah.
You've wasted an entire line that you could be used
entire
for
line
an accomplishment.
For one word.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, feel free to write in. I'm a big grammar fan, and I always get widows and orphans wrong. I'm really good at ITS, it's whether it's an apostrophe or not, but I'm not really good about widows and orphans. But I do know what a kernel is, so there's that.
In life, relationships matter, and the same is true in your professional experience, especially between managers and their directs. Everything hinges on trust. As a manager, you need to understand what matters most to your directs, and then communicate, communicate, communicate. Contact Maggie to learn about our effective manager guidance for your organization, because it matters. Customer service at manager-tools.com.
So next, responsibilities. You're going to talk about what you're responsible for in your job. This responsibilities paragraph, let's say five people held the job over the course of 3 or 4 years, right? And the job didn't change appreciably. They will have largely the exact same responsibilities paragraph, okay? You don't need to make responsibilities sound better. Although I will tell you the previous four people may be terrible resume writers and do a terrible job. So you might want to pick it better than theirs. But still, the idea here is you're simply talking about the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's very matter of fact.
Yeah. You're essentially capturing what is technically correct. So it's 2 to 3 to 4 sentences of responsibilities for the job. Ideally, it would come from job descriptions. And if you're struggling, your company's probably got a job description from you, and that will probably help. That said, a lot of job descriptions are terrible, so it may only be a starting point for you. And you want to describe what the responsibilities of your job are.
Exactly. So I'll give you a couple examples. It could be something like, responsible for the budgeting and coordination of a $3 million quality improvement program. Or, responsible for motivating 15 call center representatives to achieve quality, quantity, and sales goals.
And we say or there, but those, hypothetically, those are very different. But you, again, you could have 2 to 3 or 4 sentences. Now, do not make it 8 sentences long and the last sentence be responsible for quarterly cleanup of the common areas in our team's location. Okay. You're going to have to choose what's most important for some jobs, particularly as your jobs get more complex and bigger. So 4 at the most. Okay. Those sentences start with an action verb. Oversee, responsible for, supervise, reduce, enhance. It's a great way to start those sentences. Okay. Again, this continues all in one line. So you finish your job title, and then you go right into responsible for, okay? There's nothing wrong with having 3 or 4 sentences which start with responsible for, okay? But you could also probably do oversee, supervise, whatever, okay? You don't start a new paragraph after your job location. Again, it runs right onto the same line. You can just put a dash after that location. In the example, I think it was Atlanta, Georgia. You just put a dash and then go right into it. 2 to 4 sentences of your responsibilities. We want to know what job you're responsible for doing, because without that, your accomplishments are contextless. We don't know what you're responsible for. And a lot of times what we find is people put accomplishments and they essentially rule themselves out because the responsibilities say, these 3 things, but the accomplishments say 3 things that not only are not those things, they're not even close to being as important to those things based on our understanding of what your job was. So be careful.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The responsibilities are simply to give people a register of how to fit those accomplishments in. The responsibilities, folks, aren't important. That's not the part that the hiring manager or the person reviewing your resume cares too terribly much about. They're just there to set context. They give context for the really important part. And the important part is your accomplishments.
Yeah. If the first responsibility sentence is the one that says responsible for motivating 15 call center representatives to achieve quality, quantity, and sales goals, a couple of those top bullets have to be about quality, quantity, and sales goals, and perhaps even a representative or two who got promoted or was sales rep of the quarter or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, which takes us then to accomplishments. So now, folks, you finished that paragraph-looking section at the top there, and what you're going to do is you're going to hit enter, hit carriage return, and you're going to start putting in bullets. These bullets are essentially accomplishments that, again, relate to your job responsibilities. From a spacing perspective, you don't want the automatic, what's it called? It automatically indents bullets instead of keeping them left justified. You want to override that auto programming in your...
If it tabs it to the right,
don't tab it.
What it's doing is adding a tab. All you have to do is hit backspace and it will go back.
And knock it back, knock it right back, left justified. Bullet space.
In most word processing. Yeah, you don't want to tab it to the left to make it more obvious it's an accomplishment. That's what the bullet is there for. And if you tab to the right five spaces, you lose five spaces.
You lose five spaces.
Five spaces in your accomplishment bullet.
Again.
Yes, exactly. Well, we hope we have no orphans or widows or whatever they are. Okay, yeah. So if one of your responsibilities is motivating 15 call center representatives to achieve quality, quantity, and sales goals, we'd like to hear how well you did on your sales goals or your quality goals or your quantity goals or all three. Start with an action verb telling how you improved sales, how you reduced costs, how you improved quality, how you reduced waste, all those core things that people talk about over and over again. So, some examples. Achieved, there's the action verb, 94% of quality standards within 2 months on the job. Ranked number one in the company in volume of calls over a three-month sales push period. Ranked fifth out of 95 teams in sales quota achieved during quarters 2, 3, and 4 for year 2024. Reduced costs by 9% by creating innovating login system. Increased sales by 4% by coaching on-course sales operations or course sales techniques with top performers on my team. Helped get promoted two representatives who had been previously offered jobs but had failed to get through the interviewing process. Mind you, some of these seem longer, right? So you have to be careful about how to write them so they fit on one line. Reduced turnover from previous manager by 85%. If you had 10 responsibilities, you're going to write 3 or 4 of them that you did really well. Now, you may have 10 that you had been capturing each quarter when you're updating your resume in your current job, but you'll have to probably narrow them down to less than 10 unless you're fairly new in your career and you did do all those 10 accomplishments and you have the room on one page. And again, as we said before, they've got to be relevant to the position you're currently interviewing for. So if you have 20, you might choose the 6 that work. You might choose numbers 1, 4, 5, and 9 for job A and 2, 3, 6, 10, and 11 for job B because they, in your opinion, based on your understanding of the two different jobs you're interviewing for, one set is better than another for the different jobs. You might have 3 or 4 responsibility sentences, and you might have 5 or 6 accomplishments, so you might have 5 or 6 bullets. Every accomplishment is a bullet. Don't try to put an and then start another accomplishment in a single bullet. Every bullet is one accomplishment.
Exactly. And folks, just like we said about the responsibilities, if we looked at other people who'd done that job around a similar time, their responsibilities would be relatively similar. In this context, when we're talking about accomplishments, the key thing is that those bullets relate to you and you alone. These accomplishments are yours and wouldn't apply to the person who previously had that job, unless...
Yes.
I mean, I guess a world exists where they could do the exact same percentage improvement or the exact same sales improvement or the exact same reduction in waste, whatever it might be. But chances are unlikely. The accomplishments are about you. These are yours. Whereas the responsibilities, that part is part of the job title. You didn't do that. The job called for that. The bullets are what make this resume yours. And of course, tell us how well you did doing that job, which you were responsible for.
And if you're struggling with bullets, you're normal. If you're struggling with accomplishments, that's normal about how to write them and so on. And we have other podcasts in the Career Tools history that talk specifically about how to craft a bullet in detail, usually by using an action verb to begin and then stating the result, achieved a 9% improvement, and then usually the word by and telling what specifically you did, what the key thing you did that led to that improvement. That's the standard sort of 3 components of a successful bullet. An action verb followed by an objective, not subjective, an objective outcome, 9%, $10 million, $5 million, $1,000, whatever, followed by the action you took. Putting achieved 5% sales increase is good, but it would be a lot better if we knew what you actually did, because that will give us more alignment and understand you better.
Mm-hmm. And remember, those accomplishment bullets, those little round dots, should be right, left, flush with the margin, not indented, And you want each one of those accomplishment bullets, those lines, to fit on a single row, a single line, if at all possible. So you're going to write it out, and then you're probably going to have to play with it a little bit and reword it and shorten it somehow so that you can get all of your accomplishment onto a single line without sacrificing detail. And I mean, this is where I'm thinking to myself, I could just use ChatGPT for that. Like, just paste it in there, say, reword this into something that is no more than 6 words in length.
And exactly.
See if it'll reword it. See if it'll change it up for you. You're going to still want to read it. You're still going to want to adjust it, folks. But see if it can come up with a new way to write out that.
If you've never done this before, obviously we have a resume workbook that you can get and it tells you all kinds of stuff. I think resume workbook is available for...
For the Career Tools license.
Career Tools licensee and Manager Tools and Executive Tools, right? It's a 65-page document which takes you through in annoying detail, which for a document as important as this, the single most important document for your entire career, it's worth going into annoying detail. But we probably need to update that for AI. For instance, you could feed AI, a chatbot, your job description and say, please write a 3-4 sentence responsibilities paragraph for a resume for this job description to put on my resume. You could also probably give it long-winded answers to all the accomplishments that you wrote each quarter and say, there are 85 characters. I'm making that up, folks. I don't know how many characters there are in a line at 10 point. There are 85 characters. Please turn each one of these accomplishments that I have typed out into no more than 85 character accomplishments.
Yep.
It would do it like boom. That, right?
Done. Shorten it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we still want you to follow the guidance of action verb,
yes.
Quantitative outcome, quantitative accomplishment, or quantitative result, and then the action that you took. But now that you know that, that will help you think about writing it every quarter when you sit down creating your career management document. And then after your last bullet in each one, you're going to hit a carriage return, and there's a line of white space before you start your next responsibilities. Paragraph.
Exactly. And the recruiter is going to look through your employment history. And folks, if you've got like a 2-year gap, be ready to explain it.
Yes. And let's say this, it's okay. It's okay. If you have a legitimate 2-year, look, if you got fired and you had a long job search, don't shy away from that. Well, I got fired and I had a very long job search.
Don't be defensive about it, folks. Don't. We would rather have honesty and straightforwardness than being cagey or shady or like trying to like make it look better than it really was. We've all been through some stuff. Just say it. It's okay. Say, I had cancer. I was 2 years out of the workforce. I'm back and I'm ready to go. And be ready to talk about breaks of employment. Like, I stayed home. I had a kid. That's a legitimate reason to stay home.
More important than work.
Exactly. You don't need to be defensive about it. You don't need to hide it. You don't need to fudge dates to make it look on your resume like there was no career gap. That's lying. Don't lie on your resumes. Don't lie at all. But don't lie on your resume. What you're trying to do here is market yourself. Marketing is not lying.
Yeah. In fact, there's a phrase we use for interviewing and for resumes. A lot of people try to be truthfully persuasive in their resume and in the interviews. In other words, they start with persuasiveness and then see what they can do to make it truthful. Okay. So they're going to shave, you know, they're going to make sure that they're truthful. What you really should be shooting for is persuasively truthful. In other words, I'm going to start with the truth and then I'll do what I can to make it persuasive without stretching the truth too far in a way that is uncomfortable. I have a phrase, which is never tell the truth in such a way that the other person thinks it's not right, right? If you tell the truth and it's designed to make someone think something else, that's essentially a lie. Now, of course, Mike and I went to West Point and we're old fashioned about that. But those of us who look at resumes, we're absolutely on alert for anything that smacks of persuasiveness without roots in the truth. And it's, again, it's okay to have a break. If I ask you, what's the break for? And you say, it's a long story, I'm immediately negative. Okay. In other words, you're not willing to tell me. That's okay. But All things being equal, if you're not willing to tell me, okay, it's a long story. I don't need to go there. You're telling me I don't need to go there. Fine. However, if I have another resume that's largely equivalent to yours and they don't have a break, I'm going to choose them over you.
Yeah.
So you might as well admit it. And we coach people all the time who have gotten fired, who have gotten laid off, who had long job searches. Just tell people, frankly, folks, nobody cares. Okay. Or even better, they actually do care and they understand that's life. Life is different than it was 40 years ago. It's better in a lot of ways, but careers have gotten harder to manage in many, many ways.
Absolutely. Imagine if you get the job and then the truth comes out later. You don't want that job. You don't want that job, folks. You don't. You don't. You might as well be truthful and not get it.
Yeah. Oh, I can think of 20 or 30 people in the last 30 or 35, 40 years that put something on a resume and then somebody went back and checked after they started and said, I'm sorry, it says here you have a degree and you don't. And it's not the degree we care about. We didn't need the degree, but now you've lied to us and you've misled us to get the job. And so you're fired. And by the way, in some cases, they sue because you misled them.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for joining us, folks. Join us again next week as we finish today's topic. Now, help us help others, tell your friends, and of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.